Facebook's IPO from last week has become something of a fiasco. Multiple lawsuits, Senate hearings, appearings, and perhaps more than $100 million in losses. But regardless of what happened after the shares began selling on the NASDAQ, the fact is something pretty significant happened last Friday. Facebook decided to sell pieces of its company to the public. Sometimes that decision works out very well for a corporation like Apple or Amazon. But sometimes public scrutiny can ultimately destroy a company like Enron, Tyco, think WorldCom. Facebook chose to go public. They didn't have to. So the question we ask today is, why go public at all? And joining us now is Adrian Wooldridge, columnist and editor at The Economist. And you can read his piece in which he asks this very question in The Economist. Adrian, nice to speak with you.
Nice to speak with you.
Tell me about the calculations that go on in the mind of a CEO like Mark Zuckerberg, weighing the pros and cons between going public or not going public.
Well, as you say, you don't have to go public, but there is a big advantage in going public. Once you get above a certain size, a certain scale, if you've got more than 500 private investors, if you're a private company operating in private markets, you have to publish quarterly reports anyway. So you might as well go to the bigger public markets to do that. Facebook was already attracting a lot of scrutiny. It might as well formalize that scrutiny. And also, if you remain in private markets, those markets, because they're much smaller, can be very, very volatile. So companies, once they've reached a certain size, will tend to go public.
And yet, the number of companies who have chosen to do so has dropped by a huge amount, almost 40% in the U.S. since 1997, almost 50% in the U.K. Why?
Absolutely. I think it's one of the biggest changes that we've seen in the nature of capitalism in the last 100 years, actually. It's an extraordinary change. The public company has been the dominant form of capitalism since the mid-19th century. And we've seen in the last 10 years the number of public companies declining in the United States by 38% and in Britain by 48%, even more. So it's a big change. And I think it's because the value of being public is going down. And the value of not being public is going up. It used to be the case that if you were a private partnership, for example, you didn't get limited liability and there was a limitation on the number of partners that you can have. Now you can get limited liability and you can have more partners, so you don't really need to go public as well. There's also a huge private equity market that can finance companies. So I think what's happening is being public is becoming the privilege of very big, very strong companies. And smaller cap companies, are deciding not to go public anymore.
Although there are some pretty big companies who've chosen to, who have returned to private business or become partnerships. What does that mean for the country as an economy, as a national economy? What does that then mean if fewer companies are going public, if we're seeing more of these partnerships, and there seems to be an explosion in them? What does that mean?
I think it's very bad for the economy in general. I think what the public company does is to create an opportunity for everybody, ordinary people, to invest in capitalism, invest in this great engine of wealth creation. And if companies are choosing not to go public, if they're going to private equity, they're really restricting investments to a much smaller group of people, a much more sophisticated, savvy group of people, in fact, really to outsiders rather than the general public. So popular capitalism is really threatened by this decision. And also, public companies have been huge engines of innovation. The public company is part of a whole ecosystem, particularly in Silicon Valley, but not only in Silicon Valley, whereby an entrepreneur founds a company, spends many years developing it, and a venture capitalist invests in it. After those years, you go public. You get a big bounce from going public. You employ more people. You roll out your innovations on a bigger stage. That was what really made Silicon Valley so vibrant in the 1980s and 1990s. Now, fewer of those smaller companies can go down this path of going public. And as we saw with Facebook, it can be a very difficult path to go down. So this is bad for innovation and bad for job creation in the United States.
So maybe this is an argument that somebody like Mitt Romney is right, that in fact, to a certain extent, it's expensive regulations, complying with all the regulations that makes it expensive to become a public company. Therefore, in order to create jobs and stimulate business, we should have fewer regulations on our corporations. Is that what you're saying?
There was a definitely a regulatory overshoot with Sarbanes-Oxley. That what it meant was that the cost of going public goes up, but also the cost in terms of distraction, in terms of whether you're spending your time filling in forms or actually running your business, you know, goes up dramatically. And when people are taking a small company and pushing it and trying to make it a big success, they're enormously busy. The last thing they want in the world is to be distracted by a bunch of pencil pushers and bureaucrats looking over their shoulder to make sure they filled out the right form. And unfortunately, I think that message got through. But then, of course, we had the financial meltdown, and then Dodd-Frank, which is in itself another huge mess. So it's a problem. I'm not saying that the people who run these public companies like Enron are innocent. They're not innocent. But whether these regulations will stop future Enrons, I'm not sure. What they're certainly doing is making it much less desirable for entrepreneurs to take their companies public, and that is a very bad thing.
And is that scrutiny also leading to the short life-term expectancy of companies? It used to be that the average company went from 65 years in the 1920s. Now less than 10 is the life expectancy for a company.
Absolutely. The life expectancy of CEOs is going down. They're not in their jobs for very long. The life expectancy of companies is going down. They don't last for anything. And it's hard to think in the long term in those circumstances. Again, that's a very worrying thing for the future of the United States and indeed capitalism in general.
All right, we've got a minute left, Adrian. Give us the solution. How do you fix this?
Well, I think we need to have a lightening of the regulatory burden, certainly. I think we need to look quite seriously at the ecosystem in Wall Street. Are there enough brokers who are looking at smaller companies? Are banks paying enough attention to smaller companies, or do we have simply big traders trading electronically, just trading against the market rather than spending their time scrutinizing the market for opportunities in small companies? So the ecosystem in Wall Street has a problem. Dodd-Frank and particularly Sarbanes-Oxley are putting too many regulations on companies. Because, you know, if you're a big company, it doesn't matter. You have a legal department that deals with all of that. You don't think about it. But if you're a smaller company, it takes up a huge amount of your money and time.
Right.
And in general, we have to accept that, you know, capitalism is a rough process of creative destruction.
I think Facebook's IPO has probably taught us that. Adrian Wooldridge, columnist and editor at The Economist.